Welcome back to Hit It Here Talk. Today I'm joined by Darren Bowen, Mariners prospect. Nice to finally meet you. Nice to finally talk with you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me on the show.
Perfect. So the first question, how did you get into baseball?
Oh, man. None of my family like plays sports. So it wasn't my immediate family, but I had some cousins that were kind of like going out for baseball and I wasn't really doing anything. I had to have been like four. So, my aunt, she was like, "Hey, come along. Let's try it out." And it was like T-ball at the time. And I went out there and loved it. And I kind of been playing ever since.
When did you kind of realize that you could take this to the next level? Was it in high school or was it in college?
In high school, I wanted to. In college, I realized it. So in high school, it wasn't very realistic. I was 85 mostly. I topped 86. So I was more realistically 83. But it was always a goal. So I kept working. I never like stopped working to try to get to it. But my freshman year at the University of North Carolina at Pembroke, I had a big velo jump my freshman year. So that's when I thought, okay, it's a lot more possible now. And then kept working. And then my velo steady rose. And, you know, I think it's still rising. So it's just the fact of, you know, in today's game, you got to be able to throw hard to play professional. And that's the big thing. So.
You were one of, I believe, 14 people to be drafted out of the UNC of Pembroke. And that dates back to like 1968, which is absolutely crazy. What do you think helped you stand out? Because it's clear that not a lot of people are drafted out of there.
No, you know, and I think most of those draft picks were probably before the year 2000. I think we've had three draft picks since 2008. So I think the velo is really what stood out. My area guy, when he came and scouted me, I hit 97 out of relief in the game that he saw me pitch. So I think that's the big thing. I mean, it's a lot harder for a hitter to get drafted out of a Division II school than it is for a pitcher, because a pitcher, you can say, hey, you know, that 97 is going to play no matter where you put it. You know, so I think that definitely helped me out. You know, if I was a hitter, I think it'd be a little bit more difficult.
So you touched on something interesting. You touched on area scout watching you. How much do you think that plays into some of these smaller school guys getting drafted, and how important is it to really pitch or play every day, every game, like there's somebody watching you?
It's very important. Me being at a smaller school, I knew that they were coming to watch me when they came. They always text me, "Hey, are you pitching today?" or "Hey, what's the plan?" So I knew pretty much when they were going to be there, but that's not going to dictate on how you perform. I think if you really love the game and you respect the game the way it should be respected, you're going to go out there and you're going to play and you're going to give it your all any way you look at it. But it's huge. You know, if it wasn't Ty Hollab was my area guy. And if it wasn't for him, the Mariners don't pick me. So who knows if another team picks me? You know, nothing's guaranteed. So I think just anytime you go out there, you know, just play your game and, you know, let everything else take care of itself.
This is an interesting topic to me, so we're going to kind of jump down the rabbit hole. How cool is it to have that relationship with that area scout after they basically change your life and make you a professional baseball player, which is every kid's dream?
No, it's awesome. Ty's an awesome guy. You know, he gets a lot of studs, you know, from the North Carolina area, you know. So just having him believe in me is really good, just knowing that, you know, he thought I was good enough to play professionally and he put his job on the line. You know, when he puts his neck on the line for us, you know, we got to do the same for him. So he's a great guy. I loved all the conversations we had. But, I mean, he always still texts me and stuff now asking how I'm doing, checks in and everything. But he's a great guy. I couldn't ask for anyone better.
That's really cool. So we kind of touched on it about how rare it is to get drafted out of the school that you were drafted out of. A few years prior, actually, I believe exactly a year prior, you had a teammate, River Ryan, drafted out of that school. How much help or how much advice did you get from him about the draft process once you knew you were entering the draft?
It was during COVID. So how he was going, like his first year in it, how he was going through it, I didn't obviously get much info from him. But then he got drafted in 2021, which was the year after COVID. And it was the first 20 round draft. Excuse me. I didn't get too much info from him, but I seen him play and I seen what it took to get scouts to watch. I mean, he was a little bit different because, I mean, he's one of the best players I've ever played with. The kid was hitting 350 with like 11 jacks or something. And then also was throwing 99 and with five different pitches on the mound. And it would be in the same game. So it's a little different watching him play because you don't got to be that good. Obviously, he's going to get paid a lot of money in this game. But I kind of knew the level that I needed to play at. I kind of knew, you know, okay, you know, if I want to get to the same level that he's at, this is how I have to perform. And that's the type of players I'm going to be playing, you know, day in and day out. So he was a really fun player to watch. And I think that's the main thing I took from it, was just the caliber of players that you're going to be playing at that level and different things like that.
In high school, you kind of hear a lot about these big name guys helping others really get recognized. Do you think his athleticism or him being a stud helped you get picked up or noticed by other people?
1,000%. I don't know if we have any scouts at the games, you know, the year before my sophomore year, if he's not doing what he's doing. Because a lot of those scouts, they see River, and then if I come in, or if I start at the game, or if I come in before River, you know, then they see me as well, which I think opens up a door, you know, that's at any school. So I think when scouts get to see, if they're coming to watch another player and they like you, then they get to come back your draft year and then scout you as well.
So what was the feeling, what was the emotion like when you got drafted by the Mariners in the 13th round?
Man, it was a lot of emotions. You know, I got called, you know, way earlier than the 7th, and I just didn't know, you know, I mean, I hear stories of people getting dragged on and they didn't get drafted, and I just wasn't trying to get my hopes up. You know, I felt like I was good enough to get drafted. I felt like I should have been. You know, I felt like I should have went higher than 13th in the 13th round, but that's just me. You know, I'm still grateful I went, but it's a whirlwind of emotions. There's just so much that goes into it. All the teams calling you, you know, after day 2 passed, and day 3 was coming on, I probably talked to 14 or 15 teams, and it's like, I don't know if anybody's going to take me, you know, round passes. They told you they're going to take you here and it didn't. But, when they called me and told me they were about to take me, man, it's like, okay, let's see it actually happen. And then I heard my name called and everything. And it's just like, you know, finally, like, you know, you proved a lot of people wrong. You were able to actually do it. But I kind of got over that feeling really fast, because, you know, I hear all the stories about people just making it to pro ball and they don't debut, you know, and I want to debut, but I don't just want to debut. Like, I want to get my 10-year service time and do so much more, win a World Series. Like, there's just so much that I want to do. So it's like, you enjoy the stepping stones, the milestones along the way, but, you know, you put them in your rearview mirror and you keep working so you can get what's bigger and what's better ahead of you.
Do you think being drafted lower helps add that chip to your shoulder and almost makes it a little bit easier to go up through the minor leagues, or do you think it's a little bit harder?
I'm not, it's tough to say. I'm not going to say it as an extra chip, because, you know, even if I was drafted number one overall pick, I'm still going to, now I'm going to prove to you why I was the number one pick kind of mindset. But in terms of like moving up, you know, I think it's going to be the same moving up, you know, on any level. You know, I think you're going to get more chances if you got a little bit more money in the draft. You know, if they got $3 million tied up into somebody, then, you know, they're probably going to get a little bit more opportunity, just because there's that much money involved. But at the end of the day, you know, the major league team wants to win. And if you're good enough to help the team win, you're going to go help the team. So no team just wants to lose, especially with the new CBA or whatever. You know, you don't automatically get the number one overall pick if you have the worst record. So, yeah. You know, I'm good enough to help the team win, you know, they're going to move me up or whatnot. So, I mean, obviously that's the goal, but yeah, I'm not too big into politics or anything like that in baseball. You know, people want to win. Winning brings money, and if you win, you're going to make the team a lot of money. So.
Absolutely. I love that answer. So being a professional athlete, I'm sure the one thing you've realized really, really quickly, and some people have seen, or some people have heard in other players' career paths, there's going to be some high highs and low lows. Who are some people in your life that have helped you with those high highs and low lows?
Man, I think one saying that's helped me is my college coach, Coach Pio. He always tells you, don't let the highs be too high and don't let the lows be too low. And, you know, I felt like that helped a lot. You know, I never had like too low of moments into my career yet. You know, there's going to be some low times and stuff. You know, there obviously is high times, but you try to do the same thing and put those behind you pretty quick. You know, I feel like I'm pretty good at being professional about that stuff, but, there's been low times and stuff, and you lean on your family. I mean, that's all you can really do. Lean on the ones that love you and you love the most, during those times. So family is definitely the big one there.
You were drafted in 2022, but didn't make your debut until 2023. Was that hard for you to kind of sit out on the sidelines and watch other people from that draft class get the chance to make their debut? Or did you kind of just trust the process and go about it? How did you stay kind of I don't really know what the word I'm looking for, but just kind of stay focused on the goal at hand.
Right. You know, I think it was mostly by design. I think we only had one pitcher in my class make his debut the same year he got drafted. So it was more by design. And for me, I think it actually helped me. You know, I want to get out there and play, but I think it actually helped me. I got to get into a routine. You know, I even got to gain a little weight. I got to see other people perform. And I was at the Arizona Complex, so I got to see other big leaguers that were rehabbing and stuff that was there. And I got to learn how to be more of a professional and what it took and, you know, how to go about my day and whatnot, which I think was huge for me. So I'm not going to say it was hard for me to sit out because there was only like 2 months of the season left, I believe. But I think it actually helped me into the start of my career into this season, actually.
And you kind of talk about the complex, Arizona Complex. I've always heard of like all the good relationships being built there because everybody's always working towards that one goal. Doesn't matter what level you're at, doesn't matter why you're there. Who are some of those people you've met there and kind of built those friendships with? And now you're like either playing with them at Modesto or you just kind of see them up in Everett or Arkansas or something like that.
I feel like for the most part, the whole class of the 22 draft is pretty close. You know, all of us are, you know, we're always doing something, talking. Most of us was down in Modesto. A couple were still in at the Complex League, and some were high A. You know, Tyler got to go up to double A. But for the most part, like, we text each other. We're in a group chat on Snapchat and everything. So we text each other most of the time. And, I mean, you kind of – mostly everybody – I mean, I think Seattle's a great org with a bunch of great guys. You know, I don't think there's anybody that's – I mean – you're going to have your guys that you're not going to get along with and stuff. But for the most part, you know, everybody's a dude. Everybody's kind of like a bro. So it's just like going about your business and having fun while doing it.
Yeah, that's a great.
But not to my fault. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, you're good. You're good. Yeah, I mean, that's a great thing I've heard from like Cole Emerson and everybody. Everybody's just all together. That's the thing. The chemistry is great. The camaraderie is great. And that's something that I think the fans should be looking forward to because from every single level, there's that camaraderie. And you have all these off-season camps and everything like that to really help build that even more.
Yep. Yep. And that's exactly it. And that's where you build the relationships at too, is definitely the off-season camps. You know, when you're with somebody every day and you're all going through the same thing, you know, you're not around your family, you're not around your friends, you know. So after we're done at the facility or whatever, we all hang out, whatever it is that we may go do. So it's definitely good to build those relationships. It makes the seasons go by faster. You know, it allows you to have fun and play more loose when you know the guys better. So, I mean, it's definitely a plus.
You had a few chances to pitch out of the bullpen with Modesto before really going into the rotation. What was the biggest difference between the two roles for you as a pitcher? And does it change from like college, high school to affiliated ball?
I'll start with the role switch. It wasn't necessarily a role switch. I think the mindset for me is a little different. When I start, I get a little bit more antsy. It's like, okay, because I know I'm starting, I know I'm going in. And the bullpen is like, you know, it is what it is. I'm gonna go shove it down your throat. But I kind of get the same vibe as a starter. Like, I mean, I love starting. Starting is what I want to do. But I'm not as antsy coming out the pen. Now when I'm starting, it's like, okay, you know. I get to get a game plan, which I love. You don't really get necessarily the same type of game plan coming out the pen because you can be thrown into any situation. But I wouldn't say, I mean, at the end of the day, you're doing the same exact thing. You had to go out and get guys out at the end of the day. In terms of the transition, I think at each level, guys just get stronger. I didn't necessarily see guys get stronger necessarily in low A. I know as I get to high A and double A, you know, guys are going to be able to do more damage. I didn't feel like the teams that we faced, you know, did as much damage on some of my pitches that they should have. I think I got away with a lot more than I should have been able to. Like in college, you know, they're going to – if you throw it down the middle, they're going to hit it further than they are in high school. If high school you leave a ball down the middle, it's probably a single up the middle. In college, it's a double or a home run. And then, you know, as you get into pro ball, it's going to be, you know, now it's, you know, 1 through 9 can hit, and it's going to be a lot more damage than just a single up the middle. That's the biggest thing.
In your professional debut or your first start, my bad, with Modesto, you struck out 6 in, I believe, 2 innings. How big of a confidence boost was that for you just to see, wow, I can do it at this level and I can do it at it. I can exceed here.
That day was a lot of fun. You know, that's not something that you just get to go do every day. It was my first start. I already knew I was going 2 innings. And it was versus Visalia, and their high A team was going to face Vancouver. excuse me. So most of their high A guys were in low A at the time because of the fact they didn't have their visa or they couldn't go out of the country. So if you look, a lot of those guys that I faced, I think like three or four of those guys I faced were either in high A or double A by the time the year ended. So it's just, you know, gives me a little bit more confidence knowing that I do belong here. You know, that's always been a big thing. I came from a small Division II school and it's like, you know, well, your stuff supposedly wasn't good enough to play at D1, so why would it be able to play here? You know, and it kind of helps you defeat those thoughts and everything. I think the whole year kind of did, and I feel like I proved that I belong. So,
you touched on facing players from a higher level. Did you get the chance to face off against any rehabbers? Because I know the Cal League is big for rehab guys.
Yes, I faced somebody from the Giants. I'm sorry, I can't. You know, no disrespect to him.
Yeah, I think. I remember Heliot Ramos was one of those guys.
That might have been him. I think it was him. I got to face him. And in the complex league, I got to face. He's the utility player for the Mariners. Dylan Moore. I actually faced him a bunch. I probably faced him like five or six times. You know, so it's a lot of fun. He's tough. He's tough to get out. I don't think he swung and missed one time. So. How good those guys really are, you know. I think those were really the only two. We faced a lot of rehabbing big leaguers like pitchers and stuff, but I don't think I faced too many hitters.
Obviously, you don't want to see anybody get hurt, but do you have an ideal like rehabber that you want to face down the road if they hit the IL for another team?
No, I never really thought about it like that. I'd rather face them in the big leagues. I mean, that's the goal. So, you know, you never really want to say, hey, you want to face this guy, you know, in rehabbing or whatever. And besides, you know, I think it's harder for big leaguers to lock in, you know, in a rehab game or whatever. If you want to face them at their best, you know, you got to get into a game that it means something and do it there. You know, when there's fans and there's energy involved and there's stuff on the line, you know, then that's when you need to perform. It doesn't really matter what happens on the backfield. Obviously, you still want to do good, but that's just more tweaking things, working on things, you know, so those results back there don't matter nearly as much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as a starter, I think you touched on this a little bit, but as a starter, you're going to have bad starts. How do you not let that one bad start impact your mentality, especially in the minor leagues, where if you're starting on a Tuesday, you could be starting against that very same team on a Sunday.
Yep. And that's exactly what we did. Every team don't do the same, but I think every fourth week, we would have a 2 week where we face the team twice. And I think it's difficult. It's a lot. It does take a toll, but you have to be a professional about it. You have to go about your business the same way, you know, and it comes to a point, it's where you have to be confident and say, you know, it's not nothing I did. They just had my number this day. Or is it, you know, do I need to tweak something small and not make any major changes? And that's the big thing. At the end of the day, you know, you just got to be healthy and make your starts. You know, that's what it boils down to.
Are there any pregame superstitions or like start before the start day? What are some of the things that you do for a routine?
I don't have any superstitions. I don't believe in any of that. You don't want to be limited. It's what you're able to do if something goes wrong and that thing, that's always been my belief on it. But, my biggest thing is making sure before I pitch on start day. Other than that, I kind of got like a routine, which I played a lot with, you know, being so young in my career. Is trying to find that routine that I can stick with week in and week out, and I'm still trying to find it. I have an idea of what worked and what didn't. So now this season is going to be building on that, and hopefully I can find it early and get something that sticks sooner rather than.
So a lot of pitchers have different ways that they go about it. Some people don't sign autographs. Some people don't talk with their teammates. Some people listen to music. Do you listen to music or do any of that before? I know it's kind of the same question, but.
I'm super relaxed. Like if you want to have a conversation on my start day, like I'm all free to have a conversation up to like a certain point. You kind of got to like lock it in and start thinking about the game. But, you know, 2.5-3 hours, you know, while I'm getting rehab or getting work done, like, no, I'll joke it up, laugh, like do whatever. Like it doesn't bother me. I start locking it in probably, you know, once we get into the meeting of how we're going to attack the hitters and stuff, then it's like, okay, my headphones goes on. I start doing my warm-up routine and stuff. And then I was like, okay, let's get into a game mode. But even in between innings, like I try to stay, I do stay locked in, but I'll talk to the catchers. I'll talk to the infielders, see what they, talk to them, what they see, whatnot, you know, and try to encourage some guys and stuff and try to win a game.
Earlier on, we kind of touched on River Ryan being one of the guys that you've played with and is now pro. Are there any guys that you've played with or against who are now pro or you're looking forward to facing down the road?
I mean, I want to face the best. So, like, guys I grew up watching, you know, my favorite player growing up was David Ortiz. So, I know I'm not going to be able to face him. But, man, you know, I was a Red Sox fan growing up. I'd love to face them. Not necessarily anybody on that team, just them as a team. I'd love to face them. I mean, Mike Trout, you know, Bryce Harper, you big name guys, man, that you grow up watching. You're like, man, I'd love to be able to strike them out. You know, even if you don't strike them out, because obviously that's really hard to do. But it's like, okay, now you know you're good enough. You're sharing the field with these guys. So at the end of the day, I want to get them out. Like, I'm not here to like, oh my God, that's Bryce Harper. Like, yeah, that's Bryce Harper. But now it's like, okay, now it's a job. You know, I'm going to get you out. Like, that's kind of like the mentality of it. But it's more of just, I mean, I just want to play in the big leagues. I want to get to the big leagues. You know, that's the biggest thing. Face whoever we face when we get there.
And obviously it's not the same, but in spring training you kind of get that opportunity, especially as you kind of move up the ranks. So I think this year you'd probably travel with the big league club to a few games. Who are some of those guys that you hope to cross paths with in the Arizona the Cactus League?
I've mostly met everybody on the Mariners team. It'd be cool to, you know, go see, like, if I could see Mookie Betts. You know, I grew up watching him with the Red Sox. Guys like that. Freddie Freeman seems like a great guy. A lot of the Dodgers. I don't know. I just try to learn. I try to take in as much as possible. Any of the veteran guys, you know, that's been through a lot and that was able to stick around in the league and stuff, you know, and try to take in some knowledge and what worked for them. That's the big thing.
Kind of going back a little bit to the whole Modesto Nuts and the culture down there. What was the most memorable moment since joining the Mariners organization? I think I can make a guess.
Yeah, you probably can. So it was a lot of fun winning a championship and down there in Modesto, man. You know, once we got back from the All-Star break, you know, we didn't start too hot. And we're like, okay, like, playoffs might be out of reach, but, I mean, we're still going out there and we're still playing. I mean, it's our jobs. Like, no matter what's going on, like, we're going out there and we're giving it our all. And playoffs were looking a little out of reach. And then I want to say a month and a half to 2 months, you know, I think we're like 9 games out, 10 games out, or 11 games out, something like that, something crazy. I know with a month, we were 9 games out. And then we get some younger guys that come in, and they kind of like re-energize the team, man. You know, you get to be around Laz, man. Y'all are going to see real soon. That guy's personality is really fun to be around. And he brings the type of energy that makes you want to go out there and perform better somehow. I don't know. I can't explain it. That's just the type of personality that guy has. And then you bring in guys like Colt, who's just an amazing ball player. You watch him play and you watch some of the things he does and you're just like, wow, like that looked really easy. And just everybody, you know, and Ty Pete hitting those 2 grand slams versus San Jose, you know, and we got in by 1 game. So Fresno had the tiebreaker. So that was part of the 16 game win streak. You know, if you don't hit those 2 grand slams, we don't get in. It's just everything had to come together so perfectly. And we were getting to the ball field. And it's like, okay, we're going to win today. Like, It is what it is. We're going to win today. And there's not many times in your baseball career that you just know that you're going to win when you step on the field. So that was very, very cool.
And the cool thing is, like you mentioned, all these guys are so young. And as you guys go up in the minor leagues, you can carry this culture and really continue spreading it until it reaches the big leagues if it isn't there already.
Yeah, no, that it's really cool. You know, like I was one of the older guys. I think the pitching staff was fairly old for the most part. Excuse me. But it's just really cool. You know, I'm 22, but I mean, I feel like I'm 18 sometimes. You know, I feel like I'm really young. I look really young and I ain't fully matured yet. I still laugh and joke around and stuff, which I don't know if I'll ever fully mature, but it's just so much fun, you know, being all around the same level and stuff, you know, all the org's top prospects and everything, being right there in the middle of that group and stuff is a lot of fun for sure.
And also kind of goes back to something we talked about earlier, just the high school aspect and college aspect of those good players help you be seen. In this case, all the eyes are on the team because of the Cole Emersons, because of the Ty Peets, which helps you grow your basically fan base, because a lot of people are going to see you and wonder, who is this guy? And they're going to tune in because you put up some good numbers.
Yeah, I wanted to put up better numbers, but at the end of the day, you try not to really get into numbers. We have our own system of pitching and how it works with the DTZ and everything. So like I know what I have to work on this offseason. I know what I have to be better at. And you know, try to stay away from the numbers and look more at, you know, the controllable. You can't fully control your numbers, but you can fully control dominating the zone. So it's more of just learning how to do that better at a higher level and just running with that and sticking with that.
And this kind of goes a little bit into the Mariners philosophy, but you were added to the Mariners High Performance Camp, which is something that I believe they used to name it the Gas Camp or something like that. But
separate things, actually. The Gas
Camp, okay,
in January. So that starts in roughly 2.5-3 weeks.
Will you be a part of that?
Yes. I don't know if I was supposed to say that or not. I wasn't told not to say anything. But yes, I think 25 pitchers got invited to that, I believe.
And we can obviously remove this if you find out that you weren't supposed to say it. But
yeah, no, I think.
So going back to the high performance camp, that's something that you kind of look down at the rosters from past years and you go down the names and you see big leaguers literally a year after. So like last year, I believe that Prelander, Burrow, Isaiah Campbell. How cool is it to really look at that list and go, they value me enough to be one of these guys who could ascend fairly quickly?
Right. No, it is. It's very cool, you know, and they made that very known at HPC. You know, they had a list of guys and multiple all-stars and stuff that were there in the past 2 years. And it's just them showing us, you know, that we believe that you're guys that can really, really impact our club and and help us win ball games in the future. You know, we had meetings and stuff every day and that was known. I mean, they made it well, very, very well known. So it's really cool to know that they like me or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, they're doing it because they feel like I can get better. I got to get better. That's the only way I'm going to succeed or add value to myself or to the ball club. So it's just knowing what I need to do at the end of the day as well still.
And just kind of go back to it. It's so cool to see the connected mindset between every single prospect, high or low. And even if you're not attending one of these camps, you're still going back and you're spreading that knowledge that you're learning from all these camps to your fellow teammates. It's really cool.
Yep. No, for sure. You know, I mean, even I'm back actually working at my college. So it's just being able to talk with those guys and, you know, some of them pick my brain, you know, some of them don't. I'm still the same guy. You know, it's just I'm playing baseball on another team now. But it's really cool to be able to experience it. You know, you grow up. Obviously, when you grow up, you're not thinking about playing in the minors, but it's a way to get to the majors. So it's a blessing to be able to just even take that step.
Another question is kind of an interesting one. I'm taking the answers probably no, but did you ever get a chance to watch a regular season Mariners game either in Modesto down in Oakland or in Seattle so far?
In person?
Yeah.
No, got close. I wanted to go. We were playing in San Jose on July 3rd, and the Mariners were playing the Giants, you know, but we had a game around the same time, so weren't able to go. But you know, I think that's like a 24-hour drive from Modesto. So hopefully if I'm in Everett next year, I'll get to catch one.
Yeah, how exciting is it? Because I don't think the Mariners kind of take you through the whole tour if you're one of the lower draft picks compared to what they do with the first round.
No, I think it's if you're a first rounder or if you're like a really high school guy. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but you're either going to be a first round guy or you're going to be a really early high school guy.
How excited are you about the opportunity down the road, either next year or sometime early the year following, to tour the stadium once you are with Everett?
Oh, I mean, I'm a big baseball fanatic. So, you know, just being able to see the stadium is going to be really cool. You know, I've seen pictures and it looks breathtaking. It's right there on the water and everything it looks like as well. So, you know, I'm really excited to be able to go see it for sure.
Yeah, or just getting to watch the game or pitching a game down in Boston. Like you said, that's just – you grew up going there and to think that's a possibility, an AL team.
Yeah. No, I'm super excited. You know, I think about it a lot, like probably a lot more than it's actually healthy to think about it. You know, definitely the dream. So.
Yeah. I mean, signing the Green Monster, that's gotta be up there.
That would definitely be up there. So, you know, I try to make it not a dream. So.
How do you want to be viewed by your fellow teammates, either as a leader, as a team first guy? What would you like to be remembered for, and what would you like to be teammate wise?
The biggest thing is just a good guy. You know, whether they view me as a leader or whatnot, you know, I'm gonna do the things that's not necessarily that a leader should do, but you know, I'm not gonna say it's always the right thing to do, but I'm gonna do the things that needs to be done to help the team win. you know, whether it's being that guy that steps up when, you know, someone else won't to say something or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's mostly I just want to be remembered as a good teammate. You know, I want my teammates to know when I go out on the mound, you know, I'm giving them everything I got. You know, I'm not going to take a pitch off. I'm not going to take a day off, and that they can fully trust me like I'm fully trusting them behind me. That's the biggest thing for me.
Is there anybody, I think we kind of touched on this, but is there anybody outside of the organization that you'd like to kind of pick their brains and just kind of learn something from?
Man, you got to go with the pitching ninja, Rob Beardman, just because he's had so many conversations with other people. You can pick his brain, and with everything he's learned, it would be really cool to definitely have a conversation with him.
And kind of touching on the pitching ninja, I've seen a few pitchers in the organization kind of learn pitches based on pitches they see on pitching ninja. Are you one of those guys that you'll see a pitch like the ghost fork or something, kind of mess with it yourself?
I mess with a lot of stuff. I don't necessarily see a pitch and try to mess with it, but I do, like in catch play, I mess with a lot of stuff just to see if something just does something that it shouldn't do. But no, I don't necessarily just look at a pitch and try to throw it. I'm not that gifted. You know, that's more of a George Kirby type thing or something like that.
Yeah, that was crazy. I'm sure you saw that clip. I forgot who passed. I think it was Tim Wakefield, and he threw knuckleball or something just out of the blue. That's crazy.
That guy is so gifted. It's crazy. So
yeah, it's unreal. There's a lot of guys out there who are kind of looking at you from a D2 school, and they're going, how can I be like this guy? What would your advice be to those young athletes?
Work hard. I mean, at the end of the day, no matter where you go, you got to work hard. Work hard and get in the weight room. I mean, if you're not strong, if your body can't, you know, move the way it needs to move to be able to produce the force that it needs to, it doesn't matter, because you're never going to be looked at by scouts because you're just not going to be physical enough. So get in the weight room and, you know, believe in yourself. Those are the big things.
Heading into 2024 and beyond, what are some of your biggest goals? Obviously, I'm sure debuting is up there, but what are some of those other goals?
You know, debuting isn't really in my control. You know, I mean, it is if I do well and do all the stuff that I'm supposed to do, it is in my control. But at the end of the day, I don't make the call. I don't make the decision. So I just want to get better at DTZ and dominating the zone. I want to win, you know, every 0-0 count. I want to win every 1-1 count. You know, those are the two biggest counts. You know, and then I just want my stuff to be as nasty as possible. I want my slider to be as hard and move as much as possible. I mean, just different things. I mean, you know, there's more specifics on it and everything, but at the end of the day, I just want to DT. I want to dominate the zone, you know, better than anyone else in the league. You know, so that's the thing for me that I need to work on, you know, and so that DTZ and doesn't just help the Mariners organization. You know, if I get traded, it's gonna play no matter where you go. You know, your OOs and your ones are your two most important counts. So for me personally, I have to improve those two counts to put myself in better pitch counts. And then, you know, I think a lot of my numbers or whatever will take care of itself.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how familiar majority of the Mariner fans are, but when you go look at your K per nine, I know you're not really into numbers, but it's absurd. It's like you almost got 10 K per nine in your time with Modesto. And that would have been like every single year of your career from college dating into pro ball, which is absurd. You do that, you're going to be a big leaguer.
Yeah, it lowered a lot after I started starting. It lowered a lot. But there was a lot of stuff that factored into that. I'm not too concerned about it dropping. But you know, you don't necessarily pitch for the strikeout. Strikeouts are definitely cool. You know, it's guaranteed out. You don't have to throw the ball around. So it's definitely cool. But you know, it's mostly your strike to walk ratio. You know, if you strike out more guys, you can walk more guys. You know, if you strike out less guys, you got to walk less people. So that's the biggest thing that I look at. So you know, if I'm striking out, you know, 10 guys per nine, then I get to walk a little bit more than normal, you know. But if I'm striking out less than 7 guys per nine, then, you know, my walks need to be down as well. So
yeah, it's an interesting thing too, because you kind of saw that this year with the Cy Young debate, where there's two good pitchers, but one of them goes deeper into games and the other one has more strikeouts. So I think it was Snell being the one with the more strikeouts, and forget who it might have been, Logan Webb or somebody else who was on the other end of
I think it's kind of hard to argue with the second half that Blake Snell put up. So.
Yeah. As a local guy too, obviously I root for him. I love Snell, but yeah. It's cool having local guys from here. Just kind of looking, I guess we'll touch on that really quick before we finish off. Were there any other local guys that kind of grew up in the area and went pro?
In my area where I'm from, we had a bunch. actually. Mackenzie Gore, he's with the Nationals now. He was with the Padres. He was the number one overall prospect in baseball, probably about 20 minutes from me. We played against each other in high school. Gavin Williams, he's with the Guardians now. He was one of their young starting pitchers on their big league team. He also grew up playing in the same travel ball organization as me. He was a year older than me. DJ Hers, same scenario as Gavin Williams. But me and him, me and DJ Hers played on the same team. He just got added to the 40-man by the Nationals. There's definitely more guys. So it's a good baseball area for sure.
Yeah, and that's great for like the next generation of athletes, because you always see these guys. I don't know so much about all the guys in your hometown, but in our hometown, these guys are always out in the community coaching teams, and that's just great for the next generation of baseball.
It definitely is.
And do you have any plans on doing stuff like that, kind of putting yourself out there and just coaching up the next generation while you can?
No, I definitely want to give back to my community and do a couple free prospect camps, not prospect camps, but a couple free camps, and definitely do stuff like that. It was kind of hard to do it this year, not knowing if I was going to be invited to HPC and the dates on that and stuff. But knowing how it is, you know, as long as I can stay healthy and be here during around October, November, December, I can get a camp definitely like that going for next year. I wanted to do it this year, but how I was last year, rehab, I was pretty much in Arizona the whole time, you know, working on getting healthy. So learning how everything works for me to be able to plan something like that for sure. I definitely want to do it though.
I love it. I love it. And I guess the final one is a fairly easy question. What's your final message, or what's a message to the Mariner fan base? What do you want to tell them about the future of the organization?
Work with us. I promise you, we're a lot closer than people think to winning a World Series. I don't know if people understand the talent that's actually here, that's on the big league team and that's in the minors. I see it every day. There's a lot of talent there. No matter where they rank the prospect or no matter what you're hearing, there's a lot of guys that like winning and that want to win and that are really good coming up in the organization.
Well, that's going to wrap it up. Thank you for joining us today. I really hope some people go check you out, because you're going to be a really, really promising pitcher. And like you said, it's not all about the numbers. It doesn't matter if you're ranked or unranked. It just matters that you keep focusing on your game and pushing forward.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.